Hey guys, welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm your host, Seth Horton, joined as always by Mr. Chapman.
What's up?
Today, we have an interview for you with Abby Ran and Kristen Goggin. They are union volleyball players and just really great interviews, so yeah. Enjoy that.
Yeah, super fun talk.
Before we get into that, I want to get into a couple of segments. We're going to be talking a little bit of NBA here at the start, so let's get into it. First off is the Weekly Grit Award brought to you by Coach Ogeron. And this year's recipient of the Weekly Grit Award
is... This year's recipient? Are we just giving out like the whole 2018? I mean, this is a worthy... If we're going to give it to someone, this is a worthy cause for the yearly award.
As I said, this week's recipient for the Weekly Grit Award is the Timber Bulls front office for not trading Jimmy Buckets yet.
This might be the grittiest thing we have seen all year. I agree with your original statement of the yearly grit award.
This might be the grittiest move of the year. They have just stuck it out and just not traded a guy who's been asked to be traded for
A
couple weeks now?
For 3 weeks or so.
3 weeks? Almost
and
a month.
We're less than 2 weeks away from the season, and they're still just like, no, if we don't get Ben Simmons, we're not trading him. And Jimmy Buckets is actually, he's working out in the team facilities right now. He's not playing preseason games, but he's working out in the team facilities, and he said as long as he's healthy with the wrist injury, he's going
to
play.
Yeah, he does not plan to miss any regular season games.
If he doesn't get traded, exactly.
Yeah, so that's really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, like props to them for just not giving in. They're sticking to their guns.
Yeah, I mean, after all of the mistakes made so far, you might as well just stick to them, am I right?
Mistakes or crimes, chap?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about right now.
Court is in session, ladies and gentlemen, and today on trial is the Timber Bulls front office.
For creating the Timber Bulls.
Yes. So, as we all know, Tom Thibodeau was the coach of the Bulls for quite a few years back when Derrick Rose first entered the league. And
he just loved everyone on that team entirely too much.
He loved that team. He loved it so much. And like a psychotic stalker ex-boyfriend, he has found a way to pull the girl back in. And he has created the Bulls in Minnesota.
It's absolutely absurd. He's created the Bulls plus, like, Cat and Andrew Wiggins-ish.
And Joakim Noah was recently bought out of his contract in New York, so...
There's reports that Thibodeau doesn't want to sign him, but we all know those reports are false.
Yes.
Joakim Noah will be a Timber Bull by, like, 3 weeks into the season. I guarantee it.
100%. So, I don't even know... I mean, clearly he's guilty. Right?
Who's guilty? I thought the front office was on trial for creating the Timber Bulls by signing Thibodeau.
Can we just double jeopardy this? They're both like on trial.
That's
here.
Not what double jeopardy means, but I'm down for it.
All right, so they're both on trial. Let's get Tom Thibodeau and the Timber Bulls front office on trial. Who's guilty? Who's innocent? What say you, Mr. Chapman?
I say the front office is absolutely guilty. They knew when they hired Tibbs how much he loved every player on that team and that he would inevitably sign all of them. So they're definitely guilty.
Tibbs. Guilty or innocent?
I mean, also guilty. He's the actual perpetrator here, even if the front office encouraged it. They're both guilty. I sentence them to the next 20 years of missing the playoffs once again.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I also find the front office to be guilty, but I find Tibbs to be not guilty.
Why is that, Seth?
He was catfished by Derrick Rose's ACL.
I hate you so much.
He thought he was getting a durable, once-in-a-generation point guard, and what he got was a man made of glass and, like, wet paper.
Are you talking about, like, when he drafted Derrick Rose?
Yes.
Or when... Like, he signed Derrick Rose to the Timber Bulls.
When he drafted Derrick Rose.
Okay.
But the thing is, once he went to the Timber Bulls, he had already fallen in love with Derrick Rose and what Derrick Rose could have done before the ACL tear. And then he signed him again because he was like, you know what? We've been through it together. It's kind of like...
The Manti Te'o situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Tom Thibodeau fell in love with this Derrick Rose that just didn't exist. And now he's crying in the locker room before the national championship game against Alabama and is about to go miss 15 tackles, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Fair enough.
All right, so have I swayed you?
You've swayed me.
All right, Tom Tibbs, you are innocent before the court. All right, that was good. That was good. Speaking of NBA, we've got one more thing to do. We've only done this once this semester so far, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna do a little bit of stock market exchange here. Chap, who are you buying? Who are you selling?
All right, these
stock
two...
in. Let me rephrase. I don't want to be associated with any kind of slavery. So let me just... Who are you buying? Who are you selling stock in?
Yeah.
There. Good.
Good clarification, Seth. We needed that.
Good save.
So my two teams actually have a lot to do with each other. I'm specifically selling stock in the Pacers as a top four team in the East.
Really?
And buying stock in the Washington Wizards as a top four team in the East. I think you're super going to disagree with me on this one.
It's not so much that I disagree with you, it's that you're just objectively wrong.
See, here's my logic here. John Wall is absolutely a top five point guard in the NBA when he's healthy. You could make an argument that he is the best all-around point guard in the NBA when he's healthy.
All around is such a tricky word, because when you say all-around, what you're saying is he doesn't excel at anything, but he has no real glaring weakness.
He excels at acceleration.
He's very fast. He's a really good defender. He's not a great shooter for the most part.
No, he's not a great shooter. But
he's got the clutch gene, but he's not a great shooter.
He's probably the second best passer who is also a great player in the NBA. Because obviously, like, Rondo is a great passer, but and a better passer than John Wall.
Not
but
really
he's not
a great
transcendent
player anymore.
Player. Right.
Yeah.
I would say Chris Paul is the best passer, great player, and John Wall is number two right under him.
For passing whilst also being a great player, correct?
Precisely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very specific
at the
category.
Point guard position.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's a very, very specific category.
Yes.
But, and then also I think the signing of Dwight Howard is just extremely underrated. Dwight Howard is still a top five rebounder in the league. He can catch lobs. He can still get to shots and block shots on defense. I still think he's a good defender, especially against teams like the Pacers, who can't really spread the floor with their bigs, like Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a team like the Celtics or the Warriors, who have an elite shooting center, will be able to expose Dwight Howard's perimeter defense a little bit more, but I don't know. And then Bradley Beal is one of the better shooters in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're an underrated team.
That's.
And then I'm just not buying Depot progressing any more than he has with the Pacers. And I don't think their bench is as good as people say it is.
Well, they did just sign Tyreke Evans.
Yeah, who I think will be starting.
They're
going to be running a three-guard system with Collison, Depot, and Evans, which
isn't
going to work against teams like the Celtics.
No, you are. I'm going to give you that one, because I can't think of a time that running a three-guard system has been a good idea.
Yes, you're correct.
All right, good. All right, just making sure we're on the same page there. I still disagree with you buying stock in the Wiz. I just don't think they're going to be good. I really don't.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see me be right. But here's the thing. I am going to be buying stock in just defensive-minded teams as a general rule. Like, teams like OKC and Boston and the Utah Jazz. And who else is a defensive-minded team?
The Pacers to an extent.
Yeah, Pacers to an extent.
And then the Wizards have good individual defensive players, even though they're not a very good defensive team.
Yeah, they don't run a very great, like, who is it? Scott Brooks just doesn't run a great system, like a great defensive system. Which is really weird to me, considering that he has John Wall, who's one of the best defensive, if not the best defensive point guard in the league, not named Marcus Smart.
Bradley Beal is a
Is a decent defender. He now has Dwight Howard, who at one time was an elite defender and is now a slightly above average defender at the center position.
Yeah, and then Otto Porter is a good 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Markieff Morris.
And Markieff Morris is gritty.
Space, yeah.
He's just like Marcus, they're both super gritty.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm buying stock, and that's the only way. The reason I'm buying stock in these teams is because it's the only way that you're going to beat Golden State. You can't outgun them. It doesn't work. Like, we even saw that with the Houston Rockets. When they went seven games in that Western Conference Finals series, it was because they were playing really good defense. And as soon as, you know, Chris Paul went down and he wasn't there to slow down the pace and he wasn't there to help defend Steph, you know, make Steph choose, you either go left or you go right, but you're not going through me kind of thing. Once that stopped, they went back to just chucking shots up, and it didn't work. They missed 27 threes in a row.
So
these teams
work
who are going
against the Warriors
all offense all the time, it's not going to work for them. You might make it to the Western Conference Finals just to get swept.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Teams cannot beat the Warriors without playing good defense. And I think the NBA is starting to understand that more than they did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, which is good because, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, it's good for basketball, but you're right. We're not going to see a team like the Bucks or someone like that win a championship while this Warriors team is assembled.
Yeah.
We probably won't see anyone else win a championship while this team is assembled, but you've at least got a fighting chance, potentially. Like, if the Rockets wouldn't have missed those 27 straight threes, maybe all of a sudden we're talking about Kevin Durant is trying to get traded and the Rockets are the team to beat and the Celtics and the Rockets are on a collision course for the finals. I mean, you just don't know at that point.
But as far as selling stock goes, I'm like, part of me is tempted to sell stock in the Boston Celtics, to be honest, which I know is very unlike me because I am a Celtics fan and am a homer. I'm tempted to. I don't think I'm gonna, at least not yet. The thing is, like, preseason, we didn't look good. Like, there were flashes from each player, but as a unit, we didn't look good.
Yeah.
And even Brad Stevens admitted that. However, what I am definitely selling stock in is the Detroit Pistons front court. It's not gonna work. They have two, like, Blake Griffin, not a great three-point shooter. Not the worst, but, like, if I had to give him a grade, it'd be, like, a D. Maybe a D+.
I might give him a C- if he's having, like, a good day.
If he's having a good day. But as we all know, Andre Drummond cannot shoot threes.
He has been given the green light.
Regardless of the fact that he has been given the green light.
You're correct.
That stresses me out. Part of me hopes to see him just start draining them from the perimeter.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
I mean, even if he can't hit them, like, super, super consistently, if he can hit wide open 30, 32% of the time, then all of a sudden you're going to have to see players like Dwight Howard coming out of the paint in the Eastern Conference. And that could be a first-round playoff matchup if they're, say, the 4 and 5 seed and they both overperform a little bit. You could see players like that having to come out, and then that gives guards and even Blake Griffin, that gives driving lanes for other players and just makes it a whole lot easier to spread the floor and score on offense. So it could be a good thing if he isn't shooting, like, 14% all year.
Yeah. But you know who I'm not selling stock in?
Who?
Union Lady Bulldogs volleyball.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm not selling stock in them.
I'll buy stock in the Lady Bulldogs, actually.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Lady Bulldogs, we had an interview with a couple of their finest athletes, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw it on over to that interview. So, guys, enjoy that. And after we get done with that interview, we'll bring it back to the house and we'll finish up with some college football and NFL talk. Welcome to Layup Lines. I am your host, Seth Horton. As always, I am joined by the recently mustachioed Mr. Chapman.
I hate you so much.
Good, good. Old friend of the pod, Abby Rann, is in.
Hey.
And sort of a friend of the pod, given that we've talked about her before with her boyfriend, Mrs. Velasquez.
Hey, what's up?
We talked about this a little bit closer to the beginning of the year, but what has the transition been like with 10 new players on the team and just getting them acclimated and getting chemistry going and everything on that end of it?
I think as time has gone on, I think we've done a lot better with them kind of getting into the groove of what college athletics is like, because we do have 10 freshmen, as we talked about before, and that's a lot. And, starting with your sport in the fall isn't always easy because – you can't meet all your friends. You can't go out and do things. You're really just doing volleyball all the time. But I think our freshmen are doing a really good job, balancing school and volleyball and social life and everything. And they're doing a good job, just being a part of the team. And, they all have strong things about them. And I think that's really good to the diversity of our team.
Also, with the freshmen, they've also found their identity in the team as time has gone by. So towards the beginning, they were I don't know where I stand on the team, and now they all understand kind of their job on the team.
That makes a lot of sense.
For sure.
Yeah. It's good because, I remember I've been working, what is it called? The scoreboard. That's what it's called. So I've been watching a lot of your games, and I keep watching them. They're so close.
Yeah.
They're just right there. So yeah. It's good to hear that you guys are getting clicking, because that's exciting. And people have actually been showing up to games.
That's
been great. It helps a lot. It really does.
I think y'all's games are probably the most fun I've had games on campus. Everyone just gets really hype. It's just an exciting sport to watch.
We appreciate all the people that come. We have a lot of fraternities and sorority people come, and a lot of other athletes supporting us, and so it means a lot, and it shows the kind of community we have at Union, supporting others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps too that, because you'll see with the basketball teams and the soccer teams and stuff, sometimes they can be kind of on their own and not really involved in campus life as much, I feel like, and so there's not as many people coming out to the games because they know someone on the team. And I think it's different with volleyball because it seems like all of you guys at least have some friends outside of the team.
Yeah, our coach really harped on that to the freshmen and the classes below our class, that it's really important to reach out to people that aren't just athletics or just volleyball. Because, making those connections with the people do, it brings a sense of security almost to us, too, because we know that we have support outside of just our team.
Yeah, and I would like to say that, all 19 of us are pretty friendly. We get along with a lot of people, and even with our professors, too, we have, a great relationship with them, and, mm-hmm. they'll talk to us about things, they'll ask us how our game is going, and then they'll say, oh, yeah, I'll come to the game this weekend, it's just forming those relationships with people. They don't have to be athletes. They're not less of people because they're not an athlete mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. we see them, they're just our friends. We're all in college. We're all going through the same stuff. And so it's nice to, form relationships with people who aren't athletics, based people.
That mm-hmm. kind of breaks this wall of the mythic student athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holding the athletes to a higher hand.
Yeah. So you guys want to talk about the comeback?
Sure.
That's the meat. I love this so much. Because I was PAing for the soccer game, and I just hear Steve Aldridge just call on me. He goes, "Volleyball won! Announce it!"
Yeah, no, it was crazy. We had our backs against the walls. We were 0-2. And after the second set, Abby came into us. She pulled us aside, and she was mad. And she was just yelling her head off, just we gotta win, we gotta do this, we gotta pull through. And I think her talk changed the tone of the team, and that we saw how much she wanted it, and that translated to everyone else. And I think that changed our mood. Instead of just us throwing our hands in the air and giving them the win, we decided to change something.
Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, we talked about, but, like, we're always so close. You know, everyone in our conference, the GSC is just so good, but they're also so beatable. And that's, like, we're a great team. And, you know, Mississippi College is a good team, too. But, like, we just have to have that grit and that fire to, you know, come back and win. And I really think that we did that. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Speaking of grit, just a built-in segue.
Good job with that, Abby. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Built for radio. Weekly Grit Award, brought to you by Coach Ogeron. It's not, by the way, and I don't know if you even know who that is, but that's fine. So we were hoping that you guys might have, like, some player on the volleyball team that you'd say, this is just a really gritty player. They dive for every dig, and all, you know, something like that.
I mean, I'm going to brag on her just because she's my best friend, but she she is an outside. And Coach recently moved her to play libero, so she can no longer hit. And since she's been there, she's done a phenomenal job in the background. She's shown such grit. Like, she doesn't – she has the mindset of, the ball's up, I'm going to go get it. So she doesn't let any ball drop. So, you know, Abby's done a really good job at showing that grit. And, it translates to everyone.
Thanks, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Also, someone that first came to my mind was our setter, Rebecca Sexton. She is a senior this year, and she transferred from a junior college, so this is her second year playing like at a Division II college volleyball. And our other setter, Clarissa, just recently got injured. She's fine, like, she doesn't have to have surgery or anything, but she's just, like, slowly getting back to normal. But I thought, like, I think Rebecca's doing a good job just, like, hustling for every ball and just trying to better the ball. And you know, it's always, like Coach always tells us, it starts with our passes, and we have to get them there. But I think even when our passes aren't there, Rebecca runs for every ball. She tries to get her hands on every ball, and she's so consistent with her serving, too. Like, it's just nice to have her on our team.
Yeah. Also, going off on Rebecca is that Mississippi College game, the ref was just awful. She was just awful. She was calling doubles on Rebecca that weren't even doubles. The ball wasn't spinning, and she called the double, and Rebecca easily could have gotten frustrated and just gave up and said, you know, I'm not setting anymore. Like, this ref isn't going to give me the time of day. And Rebecca was just like, no, I'm going to keep setting my team. I'm going to make them want to get the ball done, get it, and execute. Mm-hmm. So that showed really grit, a lot of grit to me, because I was getting frustrated for her. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this ref is not going to stop. After the game, I talked to her. I was like, man, you really pulled through. Like, you did not let that ref get to you.
I think, going off of the word grit, you know, I think that our team really showed grit against Mississippi College. Like, Haley Ramsey is a freshman, and that was her first time, or, like, one of her first times, like, playing in the front row, and she did a great job. And so she did good. And then Kristen came in for right back, which is awesome. And then Anna Claire was playing left back. And it was just, we all had these different jobs and had these different opportunities to show ourselves and to push hard. And I thought, like, we all did a really good job just producing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of just team grit and effort to come back from 0-2 and to get a win, especially on the road like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really impressive, and I love that. And I don't know, something about comebacks.
It gets you.
Yeah, it really does. Also, I have, like, a personal question. What is that? I'm holding up two fingers because this is bad radio on my part. I see the refs do this. Like, this is the
double. Yeah. Double. So, like, if the ball is spinning, or if she, like, messes, like, I don't even know how to explain it. If the ball is spinning, that means it's a double. And so whenever it's a double, it's a point for the other team.
Okay.
And vice versa.
How is that a personal question?
Because personally, I had no idea what that meant. Want to get into a little bit of trash talk game ball, and it sounds like we might have a little bit of trash talk for the refs here, which is fine, and I love a little bit of controversy. So if you want to just go in on that guy anymore, feel free.
That ref was really frustrating, and there was one ball where
Delaney
she hit into the block, and it went out on our side, so it's our point, and the ref called it to Mississippi College. And we all threw a fit. Like, my mouth went to the floor. I was so shocked. And Rebecca went to go talk to her, and, like, she explained, like, this is what happened. This should be our point. And the ref was like, yes, that's what happened. I totally understand. It's the other team's point.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was so frustrating. But, like, also, I thought, like, even though we were all so pissed, like, we were mad, like, all of us. But, like, we didn't let that, like, change our attitudes for the rest of the game. Like, we can tell that our coaches, all three of our coaches, were, like, upset at that call and upset at the refs, but, like, that didn't change their mentality. Like, okay, even though, like, the refs might not be as good, like, we are still going to win, you know?
Mm-hmm. I am baffled.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're right. That's exactly what happened.
And just, I understand the rules incorrectly.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is the other team did the same exact thing, and then she gave them the point.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was livid. I said after the game, I was like, man, you know, we really just got so mad, and we could have been like, you know what, the refs are against us, you know, we're going to lose. But we brought that anger towards the refs, and we just went out on the team. And I was mad. I was so mad.
Props to you guys for keeping it together. Yeah. I'm sure I wouldn't have.
No, I was.
Seth would have gotten thrown out of the game.
That highly likely. But yeah, so do you guys have someone to give the game ball to by any chance?
I would say Rebecca, just because the refs are so bad. And like after, I was like, man, she did a really good job of not getting in her head and really continually to pull through.
Retweet.
Retweet. All right, I like it. I like it. You got anything, Chap, that you want to ask? Anything you want to speak on?
I specifically, because me and Seth both have very good friends at MC. If you guys could just, I don't know what this is going to look like, but just some.
Just kind of gloat, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Gloat to our friends Tripp and James at MC.
Hey, Tripp and James, we won. Woohoo.
We'll win again when they come to us.
Oh, okay. Guys, this is good.
I like that.
I like that. Thank you so much. Are we good?
Yeah.
Do you think we're good? All right.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks for being on the pod, guys.
No problem.
It's fun.
All right, guys, welcome back. And now it's football time. Before we get into any other segments, I'm going to get into the top 25. And I just want to discuss this a little bit. Things that I'm mad about, things that I'm very happy about. Do you have anything in particular about this top 25 college football poll that you're particularly happy about, particularly very, very furious with?
I'm still very upset that LSU is below Clemson. I appreciate that they finally put Ohio State above Clemson. But, yeah, I mean, Clemson just has not looked good this year. They almost lost to a Syracuse team that, while they were 4-0, they hadn't played anyone, and they had some pretty close games against not very good teams.
I was this close, man.
You were. You were that close with your not picking favorites pick last week, but I'm still furious that there's any Pac-12 team in the top 10. Really in the top 25, actually. The Pac-12 sucks. Colorado's the only unbeaten left over there, and that's only because they haven't played anyone.
Yeah. I am particularly upset that Clemson is receiving first place vote.
Oh my gosh, they still received a first place vote.
Yes. Ohio State.
Is that just Dabo Sweeney and Urban Meyer? I think it is.
I mean, I can understand Ohio State getting a first place vote, I guess. They haven't had as close a call as Clemson has against as mediocre to bad as a team as Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, they came back and beat a very, very good Penn State team.
Yeah.
Coached by one of the top five coaches in the country in James Franklin.
Yes. So I'm just upset that Clemson is still getting a vote. And this isn't just me being a South Carolina fan. Right. This is just like actually it's kind of absurd.
Yeah, there's no good argument for Clemson being the best team in the country right now.
There's not. I'm happy that LSU is in the top 10. I think they should be at number 4. And I think there's an argument to be made between them and Ohio State. But then also if you put 3 SEC teams back to back and the top 3 spots in the top 25,
there's going to be some people mad.
There's going to be a lot of people mad. But
I don't think it's inaccurate. I think probably the good political move is put Ohio State in there at 3 just to break it up a little bit, but I don't think there's a good argument for anyone besides LSU in that 4 spot. Maybe you could look at a team like Oklahoma or Notre Dame, but
probably Oklahoma. Yeah. Notre Dame had a close call with Vandy. Yeah. And like Vandy has been shown to not be
very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But absolutely Clemson should not be in the playoff picture at this moment.
Clemson
they could
should probably
get better.
Be I would say should probably be at number 6, number 7.
Yeah, I agree.
I would probably rank them last among the unbeatens in the top 10. That except for West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that
right
West
there between Oklahoma and Auburn, or Notre yeah. Dame and Auburn, what have you.
I agree. I also think I might have... Would you put West Virginia ahead of Auburn?
Auburn's only loss is to a very, very, very good LSU team that we've been talking about. They beat
every
Washington.
Week. We've talked about LSU every week.
Yeah. They beat Washington, who I think is a pretty decent team. I don't know. I think you could make a case for either West Virginia or Auburn. And you look at the points here. Auburn got 1,002 points in the poll, and West Virginia got 998.
Yeah.
So it's very, very – you're splitting hairs between those two teams right now.
That's fair. They're just – they're both really good teams. Yeah. I'm very proud of them.
Will Grier is probably – like if the season ended today, my pick for Heisman – right now.
Until you find out that he was taking steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also proud of Kentucky up there at number 13, 5-0. Good
yeah.
for them. Stanford has dropped quite a few after losing to, was it Notre Dame last week?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Miami's 4-1, but yeah. hey, they're still 4-1. That's pretty good. I love Mark Richt.
Let's talk about this Kentucky situation at 13.
Yeah.
Michigan at 15.
Yes.
We've got a little trash talk here for you. A
little trash talk here. So
my roommate, Reagan.
Reagan Letts. That's Reagan, R-A-E-G-A-N, Letts. I don't know how to spell his last name.
No one knows how to spell his last name.
Look him up on Facebook and go, you know, post crap all over his wall.
Yes. This, and I love Reagan. He's my roommate, but
he's all right.
He posted the other day, and I quote, "Kentucky should, all caps, not be ahead of Michigan in the AP poll." He's just incorrect.
Objectively.
Yeah, Kentucky has beat some very, very good teams. They're 5-0. Michigan is 4-1 in a weaker conference. I don't have much more of an argument than that. He's just yeah. wrong. Like, Michigan is close to as good as Kentucky. Like, if they played on a neutral field, it could go either way.
I will
but
give them
who should be ranked higher right now is not a question. It should be Kentucky.
Yeah, it should be Kentucky. They lost to Notre Dame. It was a 7-point difference, but they lost. They beat Western Michigan, SMU, Nebraska, Northwestern.
Yeah, and the Northwestern game was way closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
Kentucky
and
has
next
beaten.
Week they play Maryland. I would give them props if they beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I would give them props if the next – if they win their next three games against Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Penn State. If they beat Penn State, I'll give them props.
Yeah.
I will say, sure.
And
fine.
Even if they win two of those three, okay, Michigan's a good team, but they haven't beat
yeah.
anyone yet. Kentucky
Agreed.
Beat a good Mississippi State team, a pretty good Florida team, a pretty good South Carolina team.
Yeah.
They're just, like, their resume, as it were, is better now.
And they've just
at this point
looked
in the season.
Impressive in all of their games.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it is what it is. But a little bit of game ball. We're going to give this one out to one Marcus Mariota.
Marcus was phenomenal this week. Going,
Chad, do you have anything you
want to
say to Marcus?
I want to say I'm sorry, Marcus. I kind of slandered your name the other week when I said that I would pick Tua Tagovailoa ahead of you in a draft right now of Hawaii quarterbacks, which that's just a very specific. I think there's like four players who would be picked in that draft. But you have retaken the number one spot in my mind now, Marcus. I mean, nearly 400 yards of total offense, three total touchdowns, including a perfect pass on the game winner in overtime against the reigning Super Bowl champions. Just a fantastic game. And then a really gritty performance as well against the Jags a couple of weeks ago, coming in off the bench with the injury.
Yeah. So, there you go. Marcus Mariota, game ball. Chap.
Also AFC Offensive Player of the Week this week.
Also AFC Offensive Player of the Week this week. Way to go, Marcus. Way to go, State of Hawaii. All right. So, what do we got next, Chappy Chap?
Are we doing not picking favorites next?
Is that what's next? Yeah, I think it is. All right, so now we're going to get into a little bit of not picking favorites. Last week,
we both lost.
We both lost. Not that our viewers would know, or our listeners, rather. Not that our listeners would know. About that, I didn't get into the editing suite to edit the podcast. That's my fault. So I apologize to our listeners.
Yeah.
That's my mistake. Won't happen again. Except for next week when we won't have a podcast because fall break. So other than that.
Yeah, I picked Pitt over UCF. That was just, I was looking for another 14-point road underdog to pick, and they were like one of the three. And then Seth actually had a really nice pick, Syracuse over Clemson. Almost worked out for him.
But, still furious.
Yeah.
Still could not be more angry. All right, Chap, give me your pick. I hate you for this pick.
I am going with Kentucky over Texas A&M in College Station.
Why Kentucky is an underdog, no one knows.
Yeah. I mean, it should be Pick'em probably since it's in College Station, but Kentucky is a 5.5-point underdog. I mean, I think it's, I'm not saying that Kentucky will win this game, but I think they probably will, and it's just a good, easy, they'll cover the spread for sure.
Real quick, some breaking news. DeMarcus Cousins just signed a multi-year endorsement deal with Puma. Puma is coming up, man.
You scared me to death. I thought you were going to say he signed a multi-year extension with the Warriors.
Oh, that would have been great.
My God. You almost just gave me a heart attack right here in the studio, Seth. You would have had to rush me out in an ambulance or just leave me here until Clark recorded Loggeria next week.
Tune into Loggeria, by the way.
Our sister podcast on the Cardinal and Cream network of podcasts.
Love you, Clark. He's my roommate. But yeah, no, I would have left you here until they recorded Loggeria.
I hate you so much.
Good.
Do you know how mad Clark would have been? He just walks in here, there's a dead chap.
You would have smelled so bad. You would have smelled so bad. And that's why he would have been upset.
No, he wouldn't. I'm just saying, like, my presence just being there annoying him. I'm not saying he would be mad that you left me here dead.
Also very, very true. So for no picking favorites, I'm going to go with Northwestern over Michigan State because, why not?
Yeah, it's a 10-point spread.
Yeah.
Michigan State looks like a pretty good team.
And
Northwestern also looks like a pretty decent team.
There isn't another game that I'm really confident is gonna be an upset. Like,
yeah.
I'm looking at all these games, and I'm like, everyone that's supposed to win probably is going to win.
Yeah, other than A&M.
Other than A&M.
And I took that one first.
I despise you. All right. Well, anyway, that's our show. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about NBA a lot more now because NBA season starts in 2 weeks.
We'll be breaking down our top 5 point guards of all time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to start breaking down our top 5 at every NBA position.
Yep.
So
Woody will be in the studio with us. Should be a fun time.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. See you later.